All right, brethren, before we get started, I wanted to let you know that if anybody tries to email me, my email is my Outlook. I don't know what's wrong with it. And I spent till 1 o'clock today with Microsoft support controlling my computer, and we still didn't get it fixed. So I won't be responding to you, so if you send an email, that's why. And I have a bulletin ready, but I don't know if I'll be able to send it. So anyway, there's some things, though, I want to say to you, and we'll wait till after the service. I had written an email to you. That's when I discovered it was broke. But so I'll just tell you when the service is over. So if you just hang around a little bit, just a few needs and things we could help some brethren with. Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41. You know, God's church, his children, have faced the same troubles in every age, since the fall. Sin's not getting better, and man's not getting better. And every generation thinks it's the end because we see the things God says about how it will be, and it's this way in every generation. And every generation thinks it's the worst it's ever been. There's just really nothing new. And I was thinking about the troubles we faced when I first came here concerning the economy. And here we are again. And it's just the same troubles over and over and over. But here's the good news. Our God's the same God, and he does not change. And everything that comes to pass, he's ruling it and working it out for his people. So our text was God's answer to Israel in that day, in their day of trouble. It's still his answer to God's weak, fearful children in our day. This is God himself speaking of his love to those he's chosen and called and made to behold Christ. And if we believe God, if we truly believe the Lord Jesus Christ, if he's given us a heart to want to believe him and serve him for the cause of Christ and to see his people called out and kept and grown and our own selves, then this is God's word to us. This is his word to us. This is command and his promise. Verse 10, Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded, they shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. My subject is precious promises for weak worms. Precious promises for weak worms. And this is God's command and his promise to every sinner saved by his grace. If we know ourselves to be weak worms, and we know that we're utterly dependent on our God to save us, here's his word to us, verse 14. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Now let's start out up here in verse 10, and let's get this first command and this first promise our God gives us. He says in verse 10, Fear thou not, I am with thee. Fear thou not, I am with thee. Now, over and over in Scripture, we find the Lord commanding his children, Fear thou not. We find it repeatedly. God is frequently speaking as a father, just like a father would to his child, when we're fearful, when we're troubled, and he says to us, Fear thou not. Fear thou not. And each time, the reason he gives is who God is, and what God is to us, what he's doing for us. That's the reason he gives for us not to fear. He doesn't just say, now don't you fear. He says, fear thou not. And he tells us who he is and what he is to us. And that's all the reason for us not to fear. Look there in verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Abraham is called the father of the faithful. And when our Lord called Abraham, called him out from his father's house, and he went out not knowing where he was going. He just believed the Lord and he followed the Lord. And Abraham faced a lot of mighty kings and a lot of mighty enemies. He really did. But this is what the Lord told him. The word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. He had helped destroy a heathen king and some others to help Lot. And so he's going to have some enemies. He's going to have some enemies. And he had a lot of enemies all around him. But God said to him, Abraham, fear not. I am thy shield. I am thy shield. I'm your protection. I'm your refuge. I'm your protector. And Abraham had left all. He left everything. He left everything. He left his father's house. He left the life he knew. He left the land he grew on up in, the people he knew, and his possessions. And he went out as a stranger and a pilgrim in this earth. And when that heathen king tried to offer Abraham the spoils and enrich him, he turned them down. But the Lord said to him, he said, Abraham, I am thy exceeding great reward. I'm your shield and I'm your reward. God promised Abraham himself. He promised him himself. He didn't say, I will recompense you. He didn't say, I will provide for you, though he would. He said to him, I am thy recompense. I am your reward. Is there anything anybody, any believers ever given up in this world that God himself is not far, just himself, has he not far more enriched you by you knowing him than anything in this world you could give up? He didn't say, Abraham, I'm thy reward. He didn't say, I'm thy great reward. He said, I am thy exceeding great reward. God himself. Has Christ redeemed his people? Yes, he has. Has the blood of our Lord Jesus made us perfectly righteous in him, the righteousness of God in him? Yes, yes, it has. Has God blotted out all the sins of his people, beginning to end, so that he remembers them no more? Yes, he has. And we're thankful for that work of our Redeemer and what he's accomplished, God our Father and his Son, and for revealing it to us through the Spirit. We're thankful. We're very thankful for it. But it's far more than that. It's God himself. It's Christ himself. He is our shield, and he is our exceeding great reward. You hear men talking about wanting rewards in heaven. You hear men talking about expecting God to give them something in heaven. That speaks volumes as to what men really think of Christ himself. What more could he give you? What better reward could you have than Christ himself? Now, over and over, we hear God give this command to his child based on this same promise. Fear thou not, I am with thee. I'm thy shield. I'm thy exceeding great reward. He said to Isaac, fear not, for I am with thee. He said that in Genesis 26:24. He said to Jacob, I am God, the God of thy fathers. Fear not to go down into Egypt. He calls his children by name. He calls us personally. And he speaks this word to us, and he makes this promise to us personally. And I do pray he would speak to us personally tonight in our heart, in power, and reveal to us, fear thou not, I am with thee. I am with thee. God is with his children without fail. He's with his children without fail. It's by his own grace that he's with us. It's by his grace. It's not due to anything in us. He was with us in covenant mercy before the world was made. He chose us because he was with us. Christ agreed to redeem us because he was with us. He came forth in the fullness of time and took part of our flesh to go to the cross and redeem us because he was with us. You want to see if he's with us? Look to the cross. He came and revealed it to us through the preaching of the word, didn't leave us just out in the wilderness, sent the gospel to us, drew us under the sound of the word, spoke into our hearts, made us hear the gospel. Why did he do this? Because he's with us. He's with his people. And he didn't do that to forsake us. He sent his spirit and he says to you now in your heart, fear thou not, I am with thee. Listen to this. This is what he said to the children of Israel. The same words he's speaking to the children of Israel here, the same words he's speaking to the children of Israel sitting right here tonight. This is what he said, Deuteronomy 31:6. He said, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, speaking of the enemy, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. He said, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He goes with you, and he goes before you. And he said, and he will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. So any child of God that's fearful, any child of God that's fearful, hear this command of our Lord. He says, fear thou not. And when he speaks it, and he speaks it in the heart, that's when our fears are settled. And the way he settles them is he makes us know, I am with thee. I am with thee. Look at this second word. We know fear breaks us down. Fear breaks us down. It just breaks you down. Are you broken down? Are you weak because of fear? God says in verse 10, be not dismayed. Verse 10, be not dismayed. Dismayed means broken. It means to be weak due to fear. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God knows his children are weak, doesn't he? He wouldn't be saying this to us if he didn't already know this about us. He knows it. He knows we're weak. He knows our hearts fail us. He knows that we see we see troubles and we see the things about. He knows we have fightings within, we have fightings without. He knows that we fall. He knows we sorrow over those things. And he knows we're weak, and he knows what his children are. He knows our frame. He remembers we're dust. He knows our spirit's willing. He gave us the spirit that's willing. But he knows the flesh is weak. He knows this. Our Lord Jesus, though, partook of it. He partook of our weak flesh without sin. He came here and he was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He himself hungered and thirsted, and he experienced all the weakness of our sinful flesh. When he said the flesh is weak, he was speaking by experience. Yet he never sinned. He never could sin. He would not sin. He's God. But he knows it. And not only that, he's touched with our infirmities. When you have your weaknesses and your troubles and your fears, he's touched even now with it. But he's able to succor. He's able to comfort. He's able to give us consolation and make it effectual in our hearts so that we know all is in his hand and all is well. All is well. That's why he never tells us to trust ourselves. He tells us trust him. He never tells us trust yourself. He says trust him. Cast your care on him. And what a promise. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. Now let me ask you, how did God become thy God? How did he become thy God? Did you first love him, or did he first love you? Did you first choose him, or did he first choose you? Did he choose you by free grace, absolutely irrelevant to anything in you, anything done by you, anything you'd ever do? And did he call you by that same sovereign grace, or did he choose you because of something in you and you had a part in making yourself come to him? It's altogether the difference between free grace and works. The answer to that question is the difference between will worship and worshiping God. That answer to that question is the difference between whether God is thy God or we're our own God. Now, which one is it? Every child of God will say, it was all of grace. Thank God it was all of grace. All of God's grace. Well, brethren, because that's the case, you can look back up here now to verse 8. Look there at verse 8. He says, thou Israel, thou art my servant. Jacob, whom I've chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. That's who you are, child of God. Jacob in ourselves, Israel in Christ, by faith in Christ, by God giving you faith to believe, you're children of Abraham. And look what he said, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I've chosen thee, and not cast thee away. And because that's the case, because Scripture says here in His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the mercy seat, to be the propitiation for our sin. Because He said, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. Not just stay a little while, not just frequent a little while. Dwell in the Lord's house, in His church, in His kingdom, with Him forever and ever and ever. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell forever in the house of the Lord. We'll be satisfied with the goodness of the Lord. Because he did all this by his grace. And because he did all this by his grace, he won't forsake us. Now, here's two extremes. I mean two vastly, vastly different extremes right here. Here's our utter weakness. You and me, just utterly weak. Dismayed. Broken down in fear. Here's the power of the great I Am, our God and our Savior. Two opposite extremes. And we suit each other perfectly. Because we are weak and need God to save us. And because God has purposed to make His glory known and His power known to us in His salvation by saving us in spite of our utter weakness. We suit each other. God is going to bring all the glory to Himself by saving His people and do it by making us see He did it all. So that those He saves are absolutely, utterly weakness. Fit each other. We fit each other. But the truth is, most are not weak enough for God to save them. That's the truth. Most in this world are not weak enough for God to save them. They talk about their weakness and you know, they're just so fearful, they're such a sinner that God won't save them. That's not the problem. That's not the problem. They're not weak enough for God to save them. We never are until God shows us we are the sinner. Not just that we've done a few bad things. Not just that we've thought a few things or done a few things. No, we are the sinner. Come short of the glory of God. We've got to find out what that is. We are the sinner. Eat, sleep, breathe, sin. When we're sleeping, we're sinning. God has to bring us down to the very dust of our depravity, to our utter helplessness, to see that all we are is sin. It's thinking ourselves strong. It's not our weakness. It's thinking ourselves strong. It's not our weakness. It's thinking ourselves strong that is our hindrance and our stumbling block all the time. Why does God rule things the way He does to bring you into a place where you are utterly helpless to do anything about it? To show you He's not. Never has been. You've always been helpless. He never has been. Never has been. But it's only the weak that God saves. The weaker, the better. The weaker you are, the weaker you see yourself, the more you're going to see He's all your salvation. And that's how He's going to manifest His glory. That's how He's going to make us behold Christ is all our strength. He giveth power. Look back there at Isaiah 40. Look at verse 29. He giveth power to the faint. That's the only ones. That's the only one. To them that have no might, he increases strength. That's the only ones. He has to make us see that. We're so helpless to even see that we're helpless that he has to show us we're helpless. See, show us we have no might. You know, we can hear this and we hear this preached and we hear it declared and we say amen. Let somebody tell you to you personally. Let somebody say something to you personally that really cuts you. We'll see how proud we are, how strong we are. We'll fix that. And the Lord has to just keep showing us. Keep showing us again. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. In the Lord. Nowhere else. That's what he's showing us, brethren. That's what he's teaching us. He's showing us our weakness and he's showing us his strength. And exactly, that's exactly what he showed the Apostle Paul. And what did he say? He said, when I am weak, then I am strong. We got this thing. We got it wrong. You know, we see God put his hand on his people and we see him give them a disease. We see him take a loved one. We see him chasten, however it is. What's he doing? Showing us the greatest thing he could ever show us. That we're absolutely weak and that he is our strength. That's a blessing. That's a great blessing. You want God to bless you? You pray, Lord, please, please bless us. That's the greatest blessing we could give us. And what happens when that happens? Oh, we start pining. Lord, what you doing to me? You asked me to bless you. I'm blessing you. I'm showing you. Showing you what you are and showing you who I am. Great blessing. Great blessing. Look how he addresses those he saves there in verse 14. Verse 14, he says, fear not, thou worm, Jacob. It had been enough for God to call his elect Jacob. But he calls us, thou worm, Jacob. Sunday we were going out to the cars and Brother Rob's holding Job. And I noticed him fiddling with something in the parking lot. I looked down there and it was an earthworm. A little slimy, helpless earthworm. And Rob was just, he could turn that little earthworm wherever he wanted to turn him. That earthworm had no strength whatsoever. Just an earthworm. But the word here is maggot. It's maggot. One that came from death, born from death, one that feeds on death, one that loves death. A maggot. It had been bad enough to call us a slimy earthworm. God saying, maggot, thou maggot, Jacob. But our sinless substitute absolutely took the place of his chosen worms. He came to where we are. And when he went to that cross and he took the sin of his people and God poured out the curse on him and God forsook him. That's the curse. He forsook him on that cross. And our Lord is suffering everything that you and me and all his people deserve to suffer. He's suffering it on the cross. And he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he justified God. He vindicated God. And he did so declaring, here's why. Thou art holy, and I am a worm and no man. How dare anybody say that about the sinless Lord Jesus? How dare we not say it? Because that's how real he took the place of his people. That's how real, that's what it took to satisfy divine justice. An exact substitution, an absolute substitution. Him absolutely taking the place of his people. And that's what Christ did on the cross. So, when God calls you, thou worm Jacob, our Lord Jesus, who redeemed us, knows what it is to be the worm. That's how come he's able to comfort us in all our worminess. And so this is what he promises us. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. Who's your God, believer? Who is he? Verse 14, he says, fear not, thou worm Jacob, and you men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, the sovereign over heaven and earth, and thy Redeemer. The same one who created all things, the same one who upholds all things, the same one who's ruling everything and bringing everything to pass, came here and took our flesh and went to the cross and redeemed us from all iniquity. The Holy One of Israel. That means your Holy One. The Holy One of you. That's who he is. He's the God of his people, the Redeemer of his people, the Holy One of his people. Not only are you his purchased possession, redeemed by his blood, he is your possession. He's thy God. I am thy God and thy Redeemer. I'm the Holy One of Israel. I'm yours, he's saying. What does thy God and thy Redeemer and thy Holy One promise you? What's he promise you? Look at verse 10. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. This is how he does it. If he's speaking this word into your heart right now, and you're being comforted and strengthened and upheld, it's by his word, because this is how he does it. It's his promises he's given that he'll have us preach and declare that he speaks into the heart of his people and makes us hear it effectually and know he's your God. And this is how he strengthens you, and this is how he makes you fear not. And no maybes here in this promise. No maybes. Just I will, I will, I will. Most of you know this. We sing How Firm a Foundation. Do you know that the second verse is verse 10? That's where it came from. Here's how we sing it. Fear not, I am with thee. O be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my gracious, omnipotent hand. It comes straight from verse 10. And the third verse comes from Isaiah 43, 1 through 4 or 5. You go through the rivers, they won't overflow you. You go through the fire, it won't burn you. I'm just purging your dross, showing you who I am. So here's the third thing. Are you fearful of enemies? Every elect child of God, are you fearful of enemies? Trust every enemy to God. He says in verse 11, behold, all they that were sensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them. Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee, shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Be sure to get this, brethren. The enemy is not our brethren. You know, back when Brother Henry had the first conference back in the 50s, and there just was no, you couldn't find people in this country that believed sovereign grace. They were few and far between. It wasn't like it is today. And they had five preachers at that conference that had a lot of differences. But they had this one thing in common. The gospel of Christ and crucified. They knew Christ was all. And because it was so rare to have somebody that preached the gospel, they were willing to lay aside their differences to have the gospel. And when things are good and everything's going well and God's blessed his church, we don't have any enemies. We just have a bad habit of making them within our own ranks. Your brethren are not your enemy. Your brethren are not your enemy. I know we have disagreements, and I know sometimes we say things we shouldn't say and what have you. Your brethren are not your enemies. They're not. God will correct and keep his saints, but never, ever think one for whom Christ died is the enemy. They're not. Sometimes even those who appear to be the enemies, who are, as far as in their unregenerate state, who are the enemies, just like Saul of Tarsus, God shows actually he everlastingly loved them and brings them to join with us. What I'm saying to you is, trust your enemies to God. Trust all your enemies to God. Now, the devil and his seed and the reprobate world and wickedness, just vile, God-hating people that would separate us from God, they're the enemy. There may be, God may have some people among them. But as far as we can tell, that's the enemy. He knows, though. He knows the devil's desire. He knows we live in a hostile world. Christ knows that the devil's desire is to separate us from the love of God in Christ. And the way he's going to do that is try to divide and conquer. We living in a day where that is the way of man, far and wide, divide and conquer. And we need, in this day and time, we need to seek for peace. We need to seek for peace. If I had my way, there'd be peace. I can't help it. But we need to seek for peace. You can only do that within the bounds that are set for you, but you do it within those bounds. And if God opens those bounds, you pursue it with all your heart. But we need to seek peace. And when you can't do anything to speak a word to one another, pray for one another and wait on the Lord. But he's going to protect his people from those that are the true enemy. No enemy can do anything but what God permits. He can't do a thing. And the Lord will not permit them to separate his people from the love of God in Christ. He won't do that. Christ crushed the serpent's head on the cross. He destroyed every enemy his people have, sin, death, and hell. And the last enemy he's going to destroy for you and me is our sinful flesh when it goes back to the dust. The enemy we need to be most concerned about is the one we look at in the mirror. But God's not going to let any enemy separate you from him. He's just not going to. He promises his saints will never be ashamed or confounded for trusting him. But he promises those that are incensed against his people shall be. That's what he said there. They'll be confounded. They'll be ashamed. He promises every enemy of his people shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. If God be for us, who can be against us? We don't ever want to go up against God's people. Ever. The enemy accounts us as sheep for the slaughter. But God says, no, you're not. You are more than conquerors through Christ that loved us. That's his word. Now to you who are weak and you're fearful and you're dismayed and you're broken over fear, hear this all again now. Hear what God said. Do you feel alone? He says, I am with thee. God's our refuge. He's our strength, a very present help in trouble. He's with his church. So we won't fear though the earth be removed and the mountains be cast into the sea. He said, I'm with you. Does it appear to you you don't have any possessions in this earth? If we get this bad idea of thinking, well, I'm going to follow the Lord and I'm going to give to his cause and I'm going to do all these things for the Lord, and then the Lord just takes from you and takes from you and takes from you, and you end up thinking, well, I did. I was trying to do this for you, Lord, and now here I am poor. He's our possession. He's our possession. God's our refuge, and he's our possession. And he says, I'm thy God. I'm thy God. Your possession. He's your inheritance and you're his. Are you dismayed? Are you cast down? Are you broken? Are you weak? Are you fearful? Let the devil breathe his fire all he wants to. God says, I'll strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. And he will. He will. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Are you falling? Do you feel like you just can't hold up? He promises, yea, I'll uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Christ already went to the cross and upheld his people. He's the right hand of God. He upheld us with his righteousness at Calvary's cross. He will uphold thee with his right hand of righteousness and keep you. Keep you. Do enemies make you fearful? Listen to Zephaniah 2:8. God said, I've heard the reproach of Moab, the revilings of the children of Ammon, whereby they've reproached my people and magnified themselves against them. I've heard it. That's enough. God's heard it. God promises, they that strive with thee shall perish. They shall be as nothing, and they shall be as a thing of naught. Listen to what he said. Look at Isaiah 51, verse 12. Isaiah 51, 12. I am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the son of man which shall be made as grass? And forgettest the Lord thy maker, that has stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth? Be still, he said, and know that I'm God. I'll be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. Leave the enemy to the Lord. Leave him to the Lord. So whatever you do, look back now to Isaiah 8. Here it is, right here. See, when we're fearful of anything and anybody in this world, we're glorifying that thing and that person. We're saying they're more powerful than God. We're fearful they can do much more harm than God. And that's dishonoring to the Lord. And the Lord says this to us. Fear not, I am thy God. Now listen to what he says. Isaiah 8:13. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. See him set apart. See him as who he is. See him high and above all. Let him be your fear. Reverence him. Trust him. And let him be your dread. You don't want to offend him. And he shall be for a sanctuary. That's God's promise to us, brethren. Does that cheer your heart? Does that make you glad? Does that make you happy? Anybody? It does me. It does me. Amen. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your precious promises. Thank you for keeping us ever mindful that we are worms. We need to be saved. We need to be kept. We need to be instructed. Lord, make good on your word. Make good on your word. We trust you to save us from ourselves and from our sin, from every enemy. We're looking to you, Lord. Keep us in peace. Keep our hearts set on you. Keep us fearful of none but you, who are the one and only one to fear. Keep us knowing that's not a legal fear, but a reverence and a desire to please you and honor you. Lord, we ask you to be with our brethren, your brother Cyril, and help him to recuperate and be with Lenore. She tries to help him and nurse him. And Lord, we pray for our brethren who are suffering in sickness, and Brother D and his family. We pray, Lord, for Brother Larry, Chris, and that you help them and be with our brethren who have lost loved ones, Sister Shelby and Sister Doris, and other ones who are alone. Lord, we pray you would keep them and keep them not being fearful. Keep them looking to you. Keep them knowing that you're always with your people, always providing, and that you never fail. Thankful, Lord, you are our God, our helper, and our provider. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.